one of the neat things about not having our commission salespeople is that none of the traditional car salesmen work for me anymore. Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because no one wanted to deal with him. Mm-hmm. And those guys didn't have enough motivation in a place, in a facility, in a business like mine that that kept him intrigued enough to want to work here. And we just didn't like it.
If you want some tips about how to make your dealership better, take a look at Crown Toyota. They have a competitive edge over other dealerships in the business. They're looking how to put their best foot forward always. And the key word there is always. Every day, they're trying to make the best experience possible for their customers through attention to detail and by motivating their people. He even calls his dealership home.
And to live up to this idea of home denotes a feeling of welcomeness, comfort, and reliability. And as you walk through the dealership at Crown Toyota, you get a feel for all the staff, the multiple staff that are around you are there for you, trying to make you feel as comfortable as possible. They do the little things like putting rocks at the bottom of a coffee pot so that way the splash doesn't go all over the place. And they have a kids' room complete with devices to entertain kids. Again, all the elements that make you feel at home.
But the most important detail of all is the people. And Ephraim starts with finding the right people at the interview process. You'll hear that he's not looking for what he calls a traditional salesperson, but he's looking for someone who has passion and drive. He prefers not to hire people who have had several jobs in the car industry and possibly have formed bad habits. Instead, he uses his coaching combined with that individual's passion to help them be the best employee they can be.
And when you have great employees led by a great coach and you have the full support of your owners, you then begin to inspire your customer base. And that leads to a dealership that has the largest amount of Google reviews ever, period. I'm Dennis Wisco.
Alongside Kelly Cruz.
And this is the Wisco Weekly Podcast and our special podcast series, Dealer Exec Customer X, where dealer executives share how their dealership operation aligns with the customer experience.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicken brown cow. Listeners, welcome back to another episode of Wisco Weekly. I am on site recording in Ontario, California for our special podcast series, Dealer Exec Customer X, where I get the opportunity to feature dealer executives and they get to share about how their dealership operation aligns with the customer experience. And as I said, I'm recording from Ontario, California at John Elway's Crown Toyota. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the episode General Manager, Mr. Ephraim Barcello. Barcello, how are you, sir?
Good. I'm excellent. Thank you for coming out. That's cool.
Well, thank you for your hospitality. I first must tell you that every time I go to a dealership, one of the first things quote unquote judge is parking. Certainly. And you know this, right? Anytime a customer goes to a dealership, it's like, okay, it's already tense enough to find parking. Well, parking is very easy over here. So it's kind of like, oh, easy. And then I'd even go through the main doors. I went through a side door and, you know, as opposed to, let's say, a salesperson asking me, it was the receptionist. And then she had radio communication to you. All of that, honestly, this is my first time here. I felt really good about just being
good.
Here.
Good.
So it was great.
Yeah, that's different, huh?
Yeah. Well, so I want to get into this here with you of talking about your store's operation. And I think one of the first things I'd like to touch upon is you guys have amassed a very, very impressive amount of Google reviews. I mean, I think you're at the tune of about 2,500. And now, so you've been here at the store for 3 years. I'd like to hear your thoughts on, you know, what was the initial thinking on when you wanted to ramp up reviews, why you wanted to do that? And essentially, you know, from a tactical perspective, how did you go out to motivate your staff, motivate customers, because that in and of itself is a monster you cannot control, them writing the review. So Can you tell me and our listeners, how did you build up your social media reviews on Google?
Well, we knew that first, Google reviews are super important in your business industry. And so for us, it really wasn't about going out on a marketing campaign. We weren't trying to get a whole bunch of reviews, although we know that, you know, the social reputation of a business, especially a car dealer, is super important, and it's what people pay attention to. So right when you do a search, and you know, it tells you how many stars they are and where they're at with how many reviews. And for us, as we spoke a minute ago, Google, we think that that's the most relevant. And so really for us, it was about 3 years ago that we just changed our whole kind of business platform. And of course, curiously and coincidentally, our reviews came together at the same time. So we do ask people for their review.
Is it a simple ask?
And it's so casual. Most customers never get asked ever. This isn't some campaign. And that's probably interesting to tell you. It isn't something that we make sure we ask every customer before you leave. No, not at all. Without question, one of our thank you emails that someone gets upon leaving the store, whether they're in for service or whether they come in for a visit for sales, we always ask or just thank them. You know, I think the art of just simply saying thank you is lost. And so we made sure we send a thank you email to everybody. And that goes out on thank you and even rather email and text. And in that, it's a small invitation. If you would like, you know, let others know. And all of a sudden, probably 2 years ago or so, we began amassing a world record amount of Google reviews. I think we're over 2,500, approaching 2,600 today at 4.7, and we're super proud of that. But it wasn't a campaign that we're on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm actually dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Because again, like I don't think anyone who would see that would be like, oh yeah, they got that organically. But okay, well, actually, let's get into some other things and then dive a little bit deeper then.
Can I jump in and just say, Dennis, because like what we were just sharing, you know, before we went on mic here, that that I think it just was a natural byproduct of something we feel was absolutely compelling, something so different from what a customer's expected or even lived through before, that it was something they wanted to tell. Does that make sense? Because as opposed to just saying, hey, will every single person that comes in or buys a car or whatever, will they give us a review? Because then that's one way to get it. I think sometimes you kind of live and die by that, because you're conjuring up something more than just getting a real honest sentiment. And and for us, we feel like our massive amount of numbers really was just that byproduct of changing everything and doing more of what a customer is just simply asking for in this industry that's been lacking forever. So that's my little thought on that.
Well, and so you've been in the business 30 years?
31 years now.
31 years.
Yeah.
So you trusting the process of just, you know, I'll simplify it and forgive me, but you can go in more detail, but of you building a process and trusting that your staff will carry it out and essentially allowing customers to motivate themselves to submit the review. You've been in the business for so long that, you know, was there a particular year that you said, okay, stop trying to force these things?
Right.
And like, yeah, like we're in a different world. Let's just let the consumer do the work and we'll guide them there.
That's a good question. I would tell you there wasn't a specific time that we went back and I can pinpoint that. I knew that I was with one of the automotive giants before I joined the Elway team here. And I dabbled with and for them with a more streamlined buying experience for a customer.
Okay.
I was at another Toyota store in Southern Cal, and at that place, you know, our customers, when we really were growing our business in a mediocre market and in a store that had been in place for quite some time, our customers' sentiments were that they love doing business with us, but if there was any way to get this whole thing done quicker, that was their number one ask after buying a car. And for us, then, when I came here, it was simple. Same thing. Customers just don't want to linger all day long on something that should be done a lot quicker and way more simple. And so for us, we listened and just changed everything. And so when we decided to do and adopt our version of a one price sale environment where a customer's going to experience everything so differently, this is kind of the byproduct of that, I think. Again, that's...
And actually, that's a good pivot because I want to get into that now.
Okay.
I think one of the things that as stores are moving more towards the one price, no haggle kind of policy, mm-hmm. There's definitely a little differentiating factor that you guys have done that you don't see anybody else, or you don't see a whole lot of people. I actually haven't seen anybody else do this, but again, maybe there are other dealerships across the nation that are doing this, but I'm sure at a very small level. And that is, you know, it's one thing to put your no haggle, one price on the website. And as the customer comes in, and even if they, you know, they're already on your website, they're looking at your cars and they've selected okay, and they're maybe even, you know, they're coming in and they're like, yeah, I want this stock number. And you're like, you speak stock number language? Okay.
So I love it.
But at some point, that customer's like, okay, well, what's the price? And you're like, well, you were on our website for 3 hours, right? You saw no haggle. Well, you guys have taken that one step further to encourage your customers, your prospective customers and existing, and you're probably training your existing ones to say, look, the final price is actually published on the window, which is quite genius, to be honest. You, right? It's like you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're inducing them to come to your store, right?
Yeah, well, but it's also online. So that's when everyone thought, okay, if you just, you tipped over, man, that's going mm-hmm. a little too far. Mm-hmm. Why also publish it just everywhere? Why put it on the web? Why also put it on the window of every car? And for us, it didn't have any integrity. It wasn't worth doing. It wasn't going to be done correctly if I didn't feel compelled to put it on the window of the car, including all the customer facing incentives and rebates. That's on the window of the car too. And I get asked all the
signature.
Time. Yeah. Well, yeah, John's signature there.
Oh,
we love
like
that.
It looks like there was another like signature on some of the ones that I was seeing in the show.
Okay, good. Yeah. You mean little initials, because you know what? Getting that just on an accounting point of view, getting it, making sure it's correct in itself is a huge undertaking. We have over 1,100 new cars just on the ground this morning. I think it's 1,114. Mm-hmm. We also have 191 used vehicles on the lot too, mm-hmm. and all of them have our very, very best, our lowest price posted right on the window of the car. It also has the, as we mentioned, the customer-facing incentives and anything that the customer should know about the car they're looking at. And it's a unique price for that particular car only. Mm-hmm. And I think it's super important because I have a research team every week that reviews pricing and market conditions with me. And at Toyota, we have over 20 model vehicles. And so looking at this does take some time. We want to make sure that we're offering our customer a well-researched, you know, number that represents a wonderful, super low, aggressive market price on that vehicle, and even under market for the most part on everything here. I believe that it's what a dealership would most likely sell the car anyway, and rather than take 3 hours to do this, rather than chase you on the way to your car because now you realize, hey, wait a minute, I've been doing this for 3 hours, I've talked to 7 or 8 guys, no one's got a straight answer, why don't I just, you know, hey, let me just go home and right. think about it. And of course, someone chases you to your car and at that point says, oh, okay, you got me, I'll do it at this if you'll do it now. Mm-hmm. You know what, no one wants to do business like this anymore. And we all know this in the industry. And for us, it was just, at this point, we said, we're not doing this. So not only do I not have and pay anyone, any sales associates or product experts here, any commission, this is the way that a customer should have information transfer when they're making a decision this big. Mm. And they want a great deal. They want it quick. They don't want to play around with a bunch of stuff. I mean, you recently The reason we're together here today is because you recently had a conversation with Roadster.
Yep.
And Roadster powers our Express tool in our webpage that allows for a customer to work the whole transaction from their living room at home and work through the payment and purchase options and look at more or less down payment. If my credit's different than that, we can go ahead and do that. I can compare it to a lease if I'm writing a check, maybe look at some protection products that finance generally has to offer. At this point, these are things that the customer wants the ease of doing it on their term, when it's comfortable for them to do it on their terms, rather than having to come to a dealership and spend all day trying to do this.
Were there any struggles in the implementation of this one price, and not just the fact that you were going one price, but again, starting from putting it on your website, putting it on the window, implementing Roadster. Were there any struggles that were like, at some point you're like, you guys, I don't know, we should be doing 1,000 cars in a month, and right now we're pacing 900. Like, yeah. Maybe we need to go back to a little bit of that old school style. Like, was there any struggle at all in the implementation?
Well, let me tell you, a huge struggle, because this, I believe this is what the consumers are asking for. They've been asking for a streamlined buying experience for a long time, and I want a great deal, and I don't want to deal with some slick willy car salesman. I'm proud to say none of them work here. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. But there was a lot of struggle with that, because it just from a logistics standpoint and an infrastructure, it takes an army to get this done the right way. It took us a long time also to identify the right, we call them product specialists here. I call them product experts, because because I train someone who works here in our customer service department / sales guy. He has to train for weeks to literally become a product expert before he'll ever talk to one of my customers, on the phone or in person, because no one wants to deal with someone who doesn't know anything.
Right.
Yeah. And not that everybody knows everything. I think it's important for them to know where to go get a good, simple, honest answer. But when you go to the Apple store, and if you wait a few minutes and talk to an Apple genius at the Genius Bar, that guy knows everything, mm-hmm. and it's certain he knows way more than me about a product I'm contemplating either buying or getting customized or fixed there. And I just felt like, the industry is void of that. I won't have anybody that works for us here that isn't a product. And so we train them to be product experts.
So I think your analogy of comparing your store to Apple, listeners, I know you only get to hear this, you don't get to feel or experience this, but one of the things that's impressive when you go to an Apple store is that there are just a copious amount of Apple staff, right? Mm-hmm. So even if they don't know, they're literally one touch away from asking someone who's a little more veteran.
Right.
And that was definitely kind of the sense I was getting here, was that there are a lot of staff you have here such that it's like, yeah, if I didn't have a question right now as I'm looking at one of your Tundras in the showroom, then certainly, oh, look, there's a guy over there and a guy over there I can just quickly ask. And everybody's 100%. Just minding their business.
100%.
I do want to...
And I think it's important. Don't you? It's nothing worse than going to, and I hate to mention like Home Depot, and you can't find anyone. Mm-hmm. And then when you have a good question, I'm trying to find something, I don't know where it's at. And then when you find somebody, he just points to you and tries to give you some like roadmap verbally, and you're never going to find it. And at that point, you're like, So it's important to have help and someone who actually knows what they're talking about, someone who cares, someone who's actually trustworthy, and in this case, someone who is not going to only get paid when he sells you something. Mm-hmm. There's that whole commission thing that just you feel, we all feel when mm-hmm. we go somewhere, and man, you get treated differently. As soon as you tell someone, hey, I'm just actually collecting information today, I'm nowhere close, but hey, can you answer a couple questions? Guy's like, he's looking around thinking, how do I get rid of you real fast?
Right.
That can't happen anymore.
Well, so actually, this brings up another topic that I wanted to get to, because again, so as you start to go down the path of one price, then yes, kind of the next part of the operation that has to align with that are let's say at least on the sales side, all of the salespeople, which were previously commission-based here, but now you've moved to product experts, mm-hmm. which are, again, they're not incentivized to make a percentage off of the price, right? Or, you know, your price and the cost.
Right.
So, and whatever your compensation model is, it's not that, and it's good that it's not that,
right? It's really good that it's not.
Now, you've been in the business, though, for 30 years. Do you see that, you know, while you've implemented here at the store, with being in the business for 30 years, you know, what are some of the cons to moving to that model? Do you, like, you kind of had mentioned, like, well, if somebody was commission based, they kind of treat you different.
Sure.
Is that something that you combat knowingly with your guys here? And, you know, what are some other things that you tend to combat so that, you know, customers, while they want to always get that, you know, that feeling,
right.
And knowing the fact that that has usually come from people who have been commission based, and now if they're not getting that and they're a little more hands off, you know, I know customers who kind of view that as like negatively, and now they're like, well, I wanted to get all that love and attention, now I'm getting it. And it's like, what do you mean, customer? You just asked that you didn't want it, and now you do. But so, do you feel some of that tug and pull at all? Or
well, that's a great question. You know, when just in the past, when you went to a car dealer, you always dealt with someone who just had a selfish motivation somehow in his presentation. Mm. And at times, if you're just a regular person, you know, you would oftentimes feel like, wow, I can't keep this guy's interest, you know? And it's most certain that he was just trying to get you, you know, his every move that was made in your experience and time there was, he's just trying to get me to sign on the paper, you know?
Yep.
And that's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people I recognize, this is the largest purchase they'll ever make in their life, especially a younger person. They don't want to go through what mom and dad went through. And you know what? I felt like this for a long time, Dennis.
Okay.
You know, people just shouldn't have to go through this. So let me tell you, first, I think your first question here, I thought it was a great question. One of the neat things about not having our commission salespeople is that none of the traditional car salesmen work for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because no one wanted to deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys didn't have enough motivation in a place, in a facility, in a business like mine that that kept him intrigued enough to want to work here. And we just didn't align together in how I feel like a customer should be dealt with excellence, with this kind of elegance and ease of just taking some great care of someone at your house. Just and you happen to really have this investment in time. So whether they're here today to buy or not shouldn't matter, and it doesn't matter. And that would never happen at a normal car dealership.
That's
different.
I
like that difference.
I must tell you that, you know, part of when I come to visit stores and talk to dealer executives, one of the things that I've started to kind of realize throughout some of these dealerships I've talked to and just being involved in the business is that, you know, the dealerships where down to the receptionist, that she is acting in a manner that is, you know, hopefully good, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're acting bad, then okay, that's another indicator. But you can essentially trace that back to your general manager or your owner to see what processes they've put in place to accommodate the customer and the experience. And everything that you actually had just told me, how, you know, especially the way people should be treated now and you know, feeling like it's home here,
mm-hmm.
I agree. I felt that way.
Sure.
Coming here myself, interacting with some of your staff, like, yes, I do feel very at ease, very at home. So it's impressive, and kudos to you for having the vision and the, you know, the acuity to execute.
Yeah, wasn't easy. So you asked if it was easy. Hey, I you know, it's not. And hey, we just think differently. You know, you saw my partner Paxton Gagne in here, and I are buddies, and he's the managing partner here, and he's just a wonderful human being. And the why we get along, and why we've known each other for so long, and why we wanted to change everything like we did, It's just real simple because, you know what? First, it doesn't have to be that way. Buying a car should be enjoyable and fun. People are going to get a great deal. Are you the guy that's going to deliver that? I want to deliver it right off the bat. Give people honest choices and options and allow them to choose. And if choosing nothing other than folding everything up that I printed out and put it in your back pocket and go home and sleep on it, we tell people to do that. Mm. Sometimes a decision this big, you should think about it. You know, and no one is going to say that, but we just think that's important. But people are smart, man. They smell out, you know, something that makes sense. When the light comes on because things are offered in a very simple, transparent way, and it's backed up with just the data that's necessary to go ahead and make an educated decision, from there, you know, I think everything else seems to be, man, it's just simple and easy. I'll also just tell you that for us, I got to tell you, and I think we touched on this a little bit, Dennis, on the phone. You know, one of the most important things here for us, and for me in particular, is just creating a work environment where we have 371 associates at our John Elway's Crown location here. Taking care of them is my biggest concern. I want to make sure that they have a work environment that they love, that they feel challenged, that they feel a part of. Everyone wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. Everyone here has a unique special connection with the other people that work here. And so we try to foster an environment where they feel like they're growing. They are proud of the place that they work at. They love the people they work with. They enjoy and have fun at work. Mm-hmm. I think it's critical. And you know, at over 50 years old now and 30 years in the business, truthfully for me, if it's not enjoyable and fun as one of the most important things that has to happen every day with the employee experience, I don't want to do it anymore. And that's super important. So the byproduct of a relaxed, really great customer, you know, feel and whole showroom experience, and even my service department, and why that feels great is because, well, our employees are happy. They like being here. They're enjoying what they're doing. They like and maybe love the people they work alongside. That's super important to me.
So one of the questions I'd like to then ask also then, as you're talking about employees, so if somebody were interested in being a part of Crown Toyota, what would be the one question you would want to ask that they should have an answer for?
Mm-hmm. Good. I ask everybody, if they've had a whole bunch of automotive experience. This is going to sound bad. Okay. If you've worked at a whole bunch of other places, it's going to be tough getting a job here. Because there's so many bad habits out there. So I always ask a little about themselves. Tell me about you. Tell me about what you want. Tell me what is the single most important thing that you're working towards that you'll almost give anything to get. What is that's most important in your life? Tell me about you. See, because those are the things that matter. Yeah. Yeah, and when you can get people who have that light, you know what I'm saying? People who have fun and enjoy interacting with others, sharing very simple information, but just having that, you know, there are some people that simply have this way about them that they just, they interact with others in a way that just is way more joyful and a little more fun. And that's what you're looking for. That's what I'm trying to find when I'm talking to somebody.
That's interesting because I think that, you know, I know a lot of people who would hear that and think, oh my God, my answer has to be something about cars and customer service. But again, as you just heard, it's not about that.
No.
What is it that you're most interested in? And then how are you talking about it? How do you view it? How are you analyzing? Like all of that stuff just comes together and it's like that's all you want to get out of it for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
That's the unteachable. Tell me about you, right? Someone who's just up and has a great attitude and, you know, someone that's determined, you know, someone just defined a few days ago for me something I've always felt that's, you know, really super important. One thing I feel thankful someone taught me along the way is grit, that determination, that perseverance, that never give up kind of attitude, that something that says that I'm driven. I want something more than I'm comfortable getting. I'm willing to be uncomfortable to go get it, you know. And that drive is not in everybody. Some of that can't be taught. You can create this appetite or notion for more, You know, that's not overly hard. But these people who are gritty, you know, and understand a unique sense of work ethic. Oftentimes you can't teach that, you know. I can teach you the rest of the stuff, you know, how everything works on our car. Our cars have a tremendous amount of technology and telematics. And one of the things I'm really proud of is Toyota's a super safe car. And we try to tell everybody about it. And so that product expert's important. But, man, if he's delivering it like sandpaper, well, then no one wants it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's got to be fun. Yeah.
So a few more questions here.
Yeah.
One of the things – actually, I want to – actually, let's talk about you real quick.
Okay.
So obviously you've been in the business 30 years. One of the things you had sent to me was that one of your favorite books and authors is The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, Jeff Olson – quantifies in a simple book an idea that I was taught as a kid. Small, productive things done consistently every day is the definition of the slight edge. And for us, that's exactly how we manage everything around here. It's small, productive things done in our favor, done consistently, though, because what does that mean? That means that when you walked in today, Dennis, that we made sure that people were stationed properly, that they were they understand how to welcome someone inside our home, but that that's just not something that's done randomly once in a while well, but most of the time not well. It's consistently putting our best foot forward. Let's make sure that our cars are always merchandised properly. Let's make sure that our pricing is always on point. Let's make sure that we deliver a customer experience with, in our case, our one price platform. Let's make sure it's consistently, you know, done the same way. These are small little things we think that work in our favor. And just how we value things that most people don't. It's a different discipline. So the Slight Edge book really quantifies that, and it's a wonderful book that we've adopted here at the store. You can see all the signs around us. Yeah.
Was there something after reading that book that then you kind of, you know, you were motivated and you're like, yeah, actually, let me put, you know, I know you mentioned that you kind of were instilled these values already, mm-hmm. but after reading the book, obviously, I'm sure it affirmed. Was there any activities then that after reading the book that you're like, okay, yeah, let's start doing these little steps and mm-hmm. boom, there you go.
You know, what it made me realize is that, you know, first drive everything back to its simplest form. Make sure that everything in the dealership life, because listen, this is not a complicated business. Take great care of your people, put them in a position of so that they're growing. That means we install training that happens on every single person that comes into the store that works here in the morning or the afternoon, Monday through Thursday. It happens consistently. It's always done. We have a curriculum of something that everybody's reviewing always so that we can leverage that slight edge by doing all the small things done well and be consistent with that, not just once in a while. Let's make sure that for them that they make sure that they do their follow-up. You know, there's a lot of people go and who car shop. I read something interesting recently that when someone actually goes to a place of business, not just an automotive dealer, when they go to do a larger transaction, that even if they were asked to give or leave their information, contact information, whether it was email or text or phone number rather, that over 70% of these businesses never contact the customer ever. And I just thought that's so strange. And in the automotive industry, I can tell you that that is pervasive. It's awful. Mm-hmm. And I just think that if you've left someone a good enough reason to wanna give you their phone number, and I just think that, hey, when you've made a great connection with somebody, stay connected. Mm-hmm. Whether they buy a car from us or not, I mean, tell them, hey, Ontario is a small town. We're going to bump into each other. I want to make sure that I take good care of you. And you know what? There's not enough good people around. Let's stay connected, you know. But then give them a good reason. Let them know if something just came up for, like we just finished 4th of July, if there was any sort of APR incentives that were enhanced or whatever. Let them know. Give them the choice. But the whole idea is that we stay connected. I mean, so that was a slight edge thing that we decided to do. Let's be consistent with certain daily disciplines with training and follow-up and so forth like that. Yeah,
I like that, especially just starting from a place of keeping it simple and then all of a sudden maintaining the level of consistency.
So. Yeah, everyone does ask, how in the world were you able to grow your business to a ridiculously, you know, high volume store in the middle of an automotive industry that's not red hot? It's not at all. It's barely flat, to be generous, I think. Mm-hmm. And the truth is it's the art of simplicity. It's all the small things that we're doing consistently, though, and we do them in a way that, for example, in training, that it's fun. So everyone doesn't back their way into training. They go into it because it's always interactive and fun. But we do these things consistently, and I think that that's one of the big advantages that we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Couple more questions here, and this next question is a little two-part, but it's something I do like to ask. You now are a customer of your own dealership. Mm-hmm. How would you buy and service a car from your dealership?
Wow. Okay. How would I do it? Well, let me answer this way. We have and sell. Imagine if I have 371 employees. And their family, their immediate family. I mean, there's an enormous number of people that it's connected there. I would buy it, and I have, the same way my customers do, which and at times I do have an employee benefit coupon for them if a special car is incentivized, or if I've got an extra 100 cars or Corollas or something. There might be an extra 100 or two employee coupon that goes along with, but we at the dealership pay what our customers pay. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Someone asked me before, well, if you were buying this car, how much would you pay? Well, I'd pay the same amount you did. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. So how would I buy it? I'd buy it the same way our customers do, because no one wants us to be here all day. Give me the payment and purchase options. Make it quick. Give me the real bottom line ones. You know, we've adopted this even into our finance process too. Everyone, you know, a lot of the dealerships offer needed and or perhaps wanted products that customers do buy. No one wants to be forced into it. And if you make it available, make it at a great deal. And I'm proud to say that we pay exactly internally as an employee as what a customer does, because there's no margin in it. I've written down the margin so small. But the interesting there is that, why did I become the number one product finance services product seller of all 1,200 and almost 1,300 Toyota dealers in the nation? Because my margin is so small, because they're products that have a ton of value. I mean, do you want to have an extended factory warranty that goes to 8 years, 125 or 150,000 miles, that covers everything on a brand new car? If I'm going to keep this car, you better believe it. But I don't want to pay like $4,000 or $5,000 for it. The factory on the suggested retail is enormously high. I write this down to a margin that's near nothing, and so everyone who buys a car, you know, decides to get it. I love it.
And is this the same way in terms of servicing your car as well, then?
Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, it's market-based pricing that says, hey, man, I just want to take good care of you. And that's super important, too. I had a service, a customer came in recently. Gosh, I don't know that I want to say this really in as much as I can't do it every time, but, you know, it was compelling. This one young lady who had a history of servicing with us for a long time. But we've changed our process of really making sure that we share with that customer. We tell them we have a responsibility to share with you the condition of the vehicle, and to also bring it back to its drivability, or as close, make it drive as close as it did when it was new, and just give you the health report on the vehicle and let you make up your mind. But at least when you walk into and service your car at a factory facility, we give you the opportunity to just know your vehicle's condition. We had a young lady that came in for an oil change, and that's cool. Your car needs it had higher mileage. It was a few years extra older than normal. She'd been a longtime customer. And her brakes were down to nothing. She just didn't have brakes. And you could just feel it. And at this point, it was such a safety concern that I was, of course, just wandering around like I always do. My guys grabbed me and said the customer declined this the opportunity of going ahead and doing the brakes because it was totally needed. And at this point, it was a massive safety concern. Her brake pads were down below 2 millimeters. I think it was even lower than that. Mm-hmm. And that's just very, very unsafe at this point. I mean, think about it. You're going to drive down the freeway, you know, at a ridiculous, you know, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. And if something happens, you got to stand on those brakes to stop, and it's not there. Mm-hmm. At the end, I spoke to her. I could tell, and it was just really, you know, it was about the, it wasn't just time or one of these things that we can overcome with a loaner car or a rental vehicle for her, you know, done out of courtesy. It was, she just didn't have the money, and I get it.
Yeah.
I asked her if she had a little extra time, and she could let me have the car for an hour because I did the brakes. I mean, because at the end of the day, this lady was not going to go home in that car. It was not safe. And I looked at her and thought, you know, you remind me of my daughter. There's no way you're going home in this car. Let me just take care of this for you.
So you took care of the brakes for her?
I did. I needed to. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it was just simply the right thing to do. And that matters more than anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
You wish you could do it every time. There was something about her and her situation and the history of her service history with me that absolutely made it the right thing to do.
It's one of those things, right? If you have family, there's going to be certain times where you might let your kid get away with something, but there's certain other times where it's like, okay, look, I'll take care of it for you.
Yeah.
You know, because
you've
demonstrated whatever, loyalty, love, success, all these things, right? And so at some point, yes, you as the father, you as the leader, you come in and you're like, yes, I'll take care of it.
Let's do the right thing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's not easy. You wish you could do it more. At the end of the day, there's these things that come across that say, hey, I've got to intervene here and do something unique or special.
Yeah.
Those are the things I think that make us a different dealer. We started off by asking about Google reviews.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. I mean, at the end of the day, how do you get, you know, over 2,500 reviews? I mean, we talked about this offline. I don't know anybody that has more reviews. Yeah. I didn't go on a review campaign. At the end of the day, it simply came because I think that when everybody around sees that, hey, I'm committed to just simply doing the right thing, let's do something different. Let's be that business that is different. Let's be a dealer that cares. Let's be guys that are so committed to what and who we are. And we define that so clearly at our dealership that everybody, you know, feels good about it. And I feel good about the chance that really she let me have. Really, that's the way I look at it.
Well, Eve, thank you. I mean, there's actually so many things I want to get to, so I hope that we can do this again.
Yeah.
Do you have any, did I touch upon anything that, or have I not touched upon anything that you would like to talk about?
Nah, I think we're good. Okay. Nah, I appreciate it. Yeah, and I'd love to have you back again, Dennis.
Yeah, because I want to get, I want to get into some of the minority buyers. And to see how all that stuff works out.
Oh, so wow.
Yeah. We'll get into
that. That's another conversation because I think it's important. I'd like to tell you how we're different and how that translates into just, you know, people who have otherwise are just falling into the pitfalls of getting maybe taken advantage of. And hey, man, that's not who we are. It shouldn't happen, not anywhere. And we've done some things different to make sure it doesn't. So it's kind of cool. I'm excited about it.
Look at that teaser, listeners. Well, listeners, thanks for tuning into this episode of Wisco Weekly. Be sure you visit us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find Ephraim at, you want to provide some information, how people can get in touch with you?
Well, hey, John Elway's Crown Toyota. I'm here every single day. I mean, my beautiful wife hates the fact that I'm here more than I am at home. But even on the weekends, you'll find me here. Come visit, honestly. And I would tell folks, hey, if you're driving down, come see what a place that's different. We have a full restaurant. I love that we have a full restaurant. Come and have a cup of coffee or something cold to drink with us and say hi.
Hey, listeners, be sure you visit Ephraim at Crown Toyota and order yourself a cup of Joe and put that on my tab over there. I'm sure he'll send me a bill. But I do want to thank Ephraim for being on the show, and I'm sure we'll have more to bring you, especially with regards to minority buyers, so stay tuned for that.
And check us out at wiscoweeklypod.com and subscribe to our newsletter as we are out to find the next best automotive startup.
And as we end every episode, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salut, kampai, mabruk, tutsints.
to the customer experience.